and good evening, and welcome to another edition of the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Along with former Wausau West High School head football coach Jason Foster, I'm Chad Holmes. Coming up, we will recap week number 7 of the high school football season, look ahead to week number 8, and have some terrific guests. Coming up at 6:20, we'll be joined by Mosinee head football coach Kyle Stoffel. Mosinee 6-1 on the season, undefeated in the Great Northern Conference, getting set for a league showdown against Medford coming up on Friday night. And our student athlete guest coming up just after 7 o'clock at 7:05 from Stevens Point Area Senior High, Jackson Spees, defensive back who currently leads the state in interceptions. We'll talk to him as Stevens Point right now in first place in the Valley Football Association. And Coach Jason Foster, we're the penultimate week of the football season. And looks like finally Friday, we're going to have some football weather as well for some very big games.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm kind of sick and tired of being able to wear shorts to games, although now I say that it's going to be cold and miserable the rest of the way.
Let's look at last week's action. Starting with the Valley Football Association, quite a game over at DC Everest. Hortonville and Everest, they were two of three teams that were tied in the conference standings in second place behind Stevens Point. And Hortonville came on the road, and they knocked off the Evergreens in a thriller 14-12. Hortonville improves to 5-2 overall, 4-1 in the VFA. Everest is now 5-2 overall, 3-2 in the VFA. Logan George, our guest from last week, he was asked to do a lot of throwing for the Evergreens. 38 attempts, 18 completions, 203 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Big night for Pearson McDonald. The receiver had 9 catches for 107 yards and a score. Evergreens only 25 rushes for 23 yards as a team, but again, heartbreak for the running backs. First, it was Caden Bankston going down, and then Blake Bankston was injured in the game last week as well. For Hortonville, Broden Butson was 10 of 28, 138 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Hortonville also had 23 yards rushing as a team. 23 rushing yards for the Evergreens, 23 yards rushing for the Polar Bears. But in the end, an extra point actually was the difference. After the first Evergreen touchdown, they took a 6-0 lead. They missed the extra point, and then they took a 12-7 lead later in the game. Went for two, missed the two-point conversion, and ultimately fall by two after trying a very long field goal in the final moments. But for Hortonville, they clinch a playoff berth, return to the postseason for the first time in a while. And for the Evergreens, boy, it's rough when you lose not one but two running backs, especially for the Bankston family, especially.
Yeah, that's a really tough loss for them. Good kids, good family, and an important part of their program. We talked last week about how the Everest attack offensively had kind of become pretty balanced and good things were happening. So, and I don't know, this just seems to be the games DC Everest plays this year. I mean, how many of these games have come down to the last possession and field goals or missed field goals and penalties? And so, yeah, tough break for them. I think the underlying thing from the little bit I've heard about this game and the little bit of film that I've been able to watch is this is one physical battle. I mean, when both teams hold each other to less than 25 yards rushing, that's quite a defensive show for both of them. And neither quarterback actually or passing game was that dynamic. I mean, lots of attempts, not great completion percentage. So I think this definitely speaks to defense, which I think is good for both teams moving forward.
Also, the VFA, Stevens Point, moves one step closer towards a championship, stays undefeated in the league, defeating Wausau East 42-7. Panthers are now 6-1 overall, 5-0 in the conference, winners of 6 games in a row overall. Lumberjacks are 2-5 overall, 1-4 in the conference. Big rushing night for Stevens Point. Braylon Smola, 22 carries, 192 yards and 2 touchdowns. Izzy Moore added 16 carries for 177 yards and a touchdown. Grant Chardonnay was not asked to pass a lot, but as he does every week, very high percentage. 8 of 9, 96 yards and a touchdown. Pacey Weber, the Wausau East offensive standout again, 16 of 24 passing, 148 yards and a touchdown. And their big play receiver, Caden Worth, 6 catches for 79 yards. And think about this game. Yep, Stevens Point did what they have to do. Lumberjacks hung around for quite a while in that football game. Again, when you look at what Wausau East has been able to accomplish so far this season, going into it, number one, make it through the season, because they have not been able to do that. Number two, be competitive and maybe win a few games. They've been able to do that. So I think for Stevens Point, you take away the big thing. They're still undefeated atop the league. And for Wausau East to go to Stevens Point, to go to Gerke Field and make it a game and play four quarters and be able to do some good things, I think both teams can take something away from it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've kind of talked about this with Wausau East. I've talked to their head coach about it a little bit as well, too. Like, obviously, you go into every week and you game plan. You and your team spend a lot of time looking to win. The reality of the situation is there probably wasn't a lot of wins on their schedule this year. So ultimately, their goal was to find the little things that you build on each and every week. And the biggest thing that they haven't been able to do in a long time is compete. And I think you hit it on the head that in this game, even though it was against the likely conference champs, they stuck around and competed. And I think Spash has obviously put themselves in a very good position to get out of that game. I mean, look at Izzy Moore, 16 rushes, 177 yards. I think that's one of the first times I've seen that name in there this year. So they were able to get some other guys in there and get some really good experience and stay healthy moving down the stretch.
Talk about an interesting score. Marshfield and Wisconsin Rapids. And again, we talked about this last week. This was a big football game. For this, the winner was going to have a pretty good shot of making the playoffs. The loser is going to be in a very difficult spot. And a game that featured zero touchdowns, a couple of field goals for Marshfield in the first half, and the Tigers hold off Wisconsin Rapids 6-0. So Marshfield puts themselves in a position they're going to make the playoffs. With three wins the way it is right now, they're 3-4 overall, 3-2 in the conference, with two more conference games still to come. Marshfield will be playing postseason football, and Wisconsin Rapids will not be playing postseason football. They're now 0-7 and 0-5. Braden Anderson had 19 carries, 120 yards for Marshfield. Cohen Lehman had 13 rushes, 103 yards for Wisconsin Rapids. But I actually, I got to take a look at this game. I haven't had time yet because it sounds like it was a very interesting football game. Both teams are able to rush the football a little bit, but when you're not able to finish, this is what happens, isn't it?
Yeah, and not being able to score a touchdown, that's pretty demoralizing on both sides. You know, I guess I look at Marshfield and I say, I think we'll find out a lot about them. We'll talk more about this later, but this matchup this week with Spash. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's enough there to make that a football game. I think it'll be interesting. And from a Rapids standpoint, I mean, I watched Rapids play against West in week one of the conference schedule. And if you'd have told me they were going to be 0-7 after week seven, I wouldn't have believed it. I mean, they have the players, but I've been part of seasons like this before. I mean, they've been in how many games and just haven't been able to find a way to get over the hump. And they're too well coached, and those kids work too hard in the weight room to be an 0-7 team. And so who knows, maybe they got some surprises left coming down the stretch.
Talking about heartbreak the last 2 weeks, they gave up the touchdown in the final seconds against DC Everest, and then to play an outstanding defensive game, give up 6 points and not be able to win. So much has to do with the schedule. I wonder how the season changes if they have Appleton West and Wausau East early in the season to get a couple of wins, to get something going. You know, obviously, if you get yourself in position, it's lovely to have those games at the end of the season. But if you don't, all of a sudden you're trying to find that first win for the first 7 weeks and you're knocking on the door, not able to finish. Again, scheduling has a lot to do with how seasons go, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at Marshfield and you look at them, and I think you flip-flop those two scenarios, and Rapids is the one pulls this one off and is looking to win. But winning certainly solves a lot of problems. It helps you with your injuries. It helps you with your game playing. It keeps your confidence and your motivation moving forward. And with Wisconsin Rapids, what do you tell your defense? You didn't give up a touchdown, and you didn't find a way to win the game. That's a tough loss.
Wausau West 57, Appleton West 6. Warriors now 6-1 overall, 4-1 in the conference. Appleton West 0-7, 0-5. 35-0 after 1:49 at halftime for the Warriors. They did what they needed to do, enjoyed homecoming, got the win. Now two very tough games to wrap up the season, and unfortunately losing another cog. They lost Ray Reinick the previous week with an ankle injury. He did not play. Now Bryce Jaworski suffers a knee injury. Two-way starter for Wausau West. Again, this time of year, the timing could not have been worse for the Warriors. Really, a couple of big cogs right now missing, and you have to adjust, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked about this probably a couple weeks ago when with one our guests who are on, we talk about two-way players and how that impacts you, and it's great. And Bryce is a huge piece of the puzzle for Wausau West. And when you lose one guy who plays both sides, it's the equivalent to finding two. So that's a lot of time was probably spent this weekend and this week in practice trying. Wausau West certainly doesn't have another guy who can go both ways and fill that spot. So you're now figuring out which two guys are going to step up and play those spots and who are your best athletes and how that reshuffles the deck for everyone else as well.
well.
Great Northern Conference. Mosinee continues to roll, stays undefeated in the conference, 35-0 over Antigo. Red Robins looking for that elusive third conference win to get themselves in the playoffs. Mosinee 6-1, only loss, of course, to Stratford. Overall 5-0 in the conference. Treve Stoffel, 9 of 17, 198 yards and 3 touchdowns, plus a pick. Keegan Churchley, 7 catches, 151 yards and a touchdown. Wyatt Harris had 12 tackles as well defensively for a stout Mosinee D. And Antigo held to just 113 yards of offense. It's been no threats in the GNC so far for Mosinee, and obviously that will change this week.
Yeah, I think each conference has those one or two matchups that everyone's looking forward to. Some happen earlier in the year, some happen later, and this is definitely the GNC spotlight this week. Interested to hear what Coach Stoffel has in store for the Raiders.
And the Raiders rolled over Rhinelander. Boy, Rhinelander, after a fast start, they have struggled the last three games. Medford defeated the Hodags 40-8, so Medford 6-1 overall, 5-0 in the conference. Rhinelander, 3 losses in a row, but still over 500 at 4-3. But they still need another win to get to the postseason. They're 2-3 in the conference. Paxton Rothmeyer, 20 rushes, 153 yards, 3 touchdowns. And Medford doing what Medford does, rushing for 367 yards as a team.
Yeah, and realistically, I would say that Mosinee probably hasn't seen that type of rushing game since the Stratford game, so that should be a good matchup.
Hayward moves one step closer to a playoff berth. They're now 4-3 overall, 2-3 in the conference. They defeated Merrill by a score of 20-0. Blue Jays still looking for their first win of the season. Hayward, balanced attack, 140 yards rushing, 119 yards passing. Again, giving up 20 points ain't bad, but unfortunately for the Blue Jays this season, just not able to get the offense going.
Yeah, obviously, I have not seen any of that action to this point. I would have to think that line of scrimmage is where their struggles begin, and that's hard to overcome. In that conference, there's a lot of good competitive teams who can score points right now, so if you can't crack the end zone, it's going to be hard to win.
And Lakeland continues their patented second-half surge as the Thunderbirds have now won 3 in a row, 3-4 overall, 3-2 in the conference. They will be playing postseason football. They defeat Ashland 28-14. Ashland now 1-6 overall, 1-4 in the conference. It was tied after 3, 14-14, but Noah Bruckner had touchdown runs of 64 and 20 yards in the fourth quarter to win it for Lakeland. And the thing for Lakeland in this turnaround, they're starting to score some points.
Yeah.
They really struggled early in the four games that they lost scoring points, and again, taking advantage of a schedule that turned in their favor. But at the same time, we talked about a lot, going up to Ashland, not easy, yep, and able to finish with a nice win.
Yeah, and that's one of those that'll hopefully help them out down the road as they finish the regular season, also in the playoffs, in those second half, fourth quarter comebacks or finishing games in the fourth quarter, and to finish it by running the football this time of year. As we talked about, the weather's starting to change, so gaining some confidence. And I think you look at Ashland, and they're probably at a point now where they're kind of starting to look forward to that conference realignment next year and losing some of those long trips and some of these games that they struggle with.
We need to take a timeout. We'll have more of the recap of week number 7 coming up later in the program. But coming up next will be our first guest for tonight, our coach guest for this week, the head football coach of Mosinee High School, Kyle Stoffel. He'll be coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And welcome back. It's the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. With Jason Foster, I'm Chad Holmes. Coming up a little bit later on in the program, we will have our student athlete guest for this week from Stevens Point Area Senior High School, their outstanding defensive back, Jackson Spees. But right now, it's time for our coach guest for this week, and we're very happy to welcome into studio. Always love it when our guests are able to come on by, especially in our new studio, but very happy to welcome the head football coach of Mosinee High School, Kyle Stoffel. Coach, again, thank you for making the trip here to Wausau and joining us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Absolutely, and there's so much to talk about. We're going to hold off on talking about the big game coming up on Friday against Medford and kind of take a step back. We're 7 weeks into the season. We're getting down the stretch of the regular season campaign. It's been an impressive run, especially in the Great Northern Conference for your team. But as you take a step back and talk about this season up to this point, what stands out for your team? Is it gone the way that you thought it would go is once you got things underway in practice in early August?
It's pretty much gone the way I expected. I'd hoped that we'd start off a little better than we did on week one. Obviously, we played a very good team in Stratford. We helped them out a little bit with some turnovers and just not playing real well early in that game. But that kind of woke us up. It was a good game for us to start with. It woke us up. Their intensity, the way they get off the ball, showed us that we weren't quite at that level yet. And yeah, since then, we've got things rolling, and it's been a lot of fun since then.
Yeah, you talked about that game against Stratford. I kind of read my mind a little bit, I think, too. I give you guys a lot of credit for scheduling a game like that early in the season. Sometimes guys are looking to get their season started with a couple W's as you head into conference play. What goes into that decision and what you kind of touched on a little bit, but how does that impact everything else moving forward, whether you have that game and win a huge one or if, like this year, you have a ball didn't bunch away a couple times and took a tough loss?
Well, obviously it's fun because they're so close to us. So, I mean, these kids run into each other a lot. We're playing them in the summer 7-on-7 leagues. We see them at camps and things like that. So, and obviously the type of program that they are, it's good for us to face that type of competition to start the season, win or loss. Obviously you want to win every game, but we always get something out of playing them.
Let me ask you about the game after that, because when you lose a tough game, you get off to a rough start, you have a little frustration, and you put up 64 the next week. Can you talk about how your team, because you learn a lot when you lose, not always in terms of what the X's and O's are, but maybe how a team reacts. And it looks like your team reacted very well early in the season. What did you find out about your team when you got on the bus to Clintonville, then came home after a nice win against Clintonville to bounce back from that loss in week one?
Well, mainly we found out that the majority of the kids, or all the kids, they were willing to work and get better. You know, they're, for the most part, they're very coachable. They keep working when we ask them to. And, yeah, luckily we went over to Clintonville and we played well in all phases of the game. I think we had a punt return, a kickoff return, you know, and obviously we really got things rolling on offense. So it was good to come off a loss and just show that we can get over that and improve.
Let me ask you real quickly, because you mentioned the offense. I'm going to start with the defense because, I mean, when you look at the results so far this season, and I'll take away the first game, 12 against Clintonville, that's a good night normally. Yeah, your team made that look like a bad night at the office, because since the Great Northern Conference has got underway, you've given up a grand total of 3 points. I mean, a field goal up at Hayward. I mean, we talk a lot over the years about Mosinee and offense and the high-powered offense, often with a good pass game. Defensively this season, I mean, the numbers are just staggering. What is your team doing defensively? Who are some of the kids that have been the keys defensively for your team so far this year?
Yeah, obviously we've been blessed with a lot of good athletes at Mosinee. I knew defensively we had a lot of guys coming back. We lost a couple of key linebackers. My son, you know, in the middle, and he did a lot for me on the field as far as calling plays and getting things set up. So
real quickly, I mean, to lose somebody like that and have a great defense says a lot right off the top, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was, I mean, he was, you know, you use that term coach on the field, but he really was. He read things, he saw things, he got things lined up. But so that was a big question coming into this year was our linebackers. We had to move some guys from outside to inside, we moved a guy from the secondary, Jerry Straits, moved from secondary to an outside linebacker. We moved Wyatt Harris into the middle. We moved Brady Locken from the middle to the outside, and then we brought a guy from JV, Elliot Yurkowski, who's been just phenomenal. He's led us in tackles, mm-hmm. I mean, he's very undersized to play middle linebacker, but he's a slippery guy, and he's real hard to block, and he's aggressive for his size. And so I mean, I coach the defense, and I'm a linebacker guy, so it's been I put a lot of pressure on myself and those guys. I expect a lot from those guys to make a lot of plays. We kind of set up our defense for them, and mainly our defensive line guys, they just buy in. You know what I mean? It's you guys' job is to occupy blockers so that my linebackers can fly around. And so far, that's, you know, once we got in the league, they've been doing that really well. And obviously, our guys in the secondary, we don't play a ton of teams that pass in our conference, but when they do, we've been getting a lot of turnovers and interceptions and things like that. So they just, the defense has just been, they've gelled. They've done everything I've asked, and so far we've stayed healthy and everybody's playing well.
Yeah, I'm going to take that one step further. Obviously, there's a ton to talk about on offense. You guys have a special group of athletes and can put up a lot of points, and obviously the defense has been playing well. We touched a little bit off air. Like, one thing that I've noticed, too, watching your highlights on TV each week, looking at Chad's stats, special teams has also played a role in your success this year, and such a huge piece moving forward as the competition gets better each week. Obviously, this week, Medford, but then when you look into the different levels, playoff moving forward, those games can be decided by special teams. Are you guys good on special teams because you have some gifted athletes, or do you guys put a good chunk of time in practice with that as well?
Well, obviously we've got, you know, Keegan Jerschley back there. He's a difference maker every time he touches the ball. So, but, you know, the emphasis has been on if we can give him a little space, you know, just stay on your blockers a little bit longer, you know, he can make really good things happen. So we do put a lot of emphasis on that. You know, we get guys out there that can stay with guys and stay on blocks and just give him the little bit of space, the little bit of room that he needs to make a big play. So, you know, teams, basically we're blessed with good field position a lot, because if they do kick it to him, he usually puts us in good field position, or if they try to kick away from him, obviously they're kicking it shorter or out of bounds, and that's giving us good field position too. So that's been a huge asset to us this year as far as field position, and we've scored a ton on special teams too. So it's been great for us.
Again, we're talking to Mosinee head football coach Kyle Stoffel here on the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Like your defense, I think you could probably say on your offense, you also had, you know, you have some kids back, but also you had to replace some rather significant production, to say the least, on the offensive side. How would you judge your offense so far this season? What have you liked about your offense in terms of 2023?
I've loved our balance. We, I didn't check the stats right before I came here, but going into last week, we're almost dead even on as far as our rushing yards and our passing yards. So it's real hard for teams to, you know, try to take one thing away from us, because we do the other thing well. If you want to load the box and take the run away from us, well, we've got a good quarterback, we've got weapons, we can throw the ball. And if you want to, you know, try to take, you know, give us a light box, well, we'll run the ball. So that's been the biggest advantage for us, the thing that I'd like to see the most. Obviously, we have just variations of ways to get the ball in our playmakers' hands, and basically we're going to take what the defense gives us.
So, Coach, I always have to ask when I see this or have it as part of the equation, what's it like coaching your sons? Obviously, you had an outstanding player last year and having one on the team this year. I've had daughters, so I've never had the opportunity to coach. But how is that special? How is it challenging at times? What's that like?
For the most part, I haven't had any major challenges involved with it. Most kids on the team know that my kids work as hard as anybody. As far as when it comes down to it, the expectations on them are above and beyond everybody else. So, you know, if anybody's getting chewed on in practice, it's usually my kids first. they've dealt with that from day one. They understand it. They've accepted it. And, but yeah, it's a whole different thing. I really enjoy it. I mean, I got into coaching because of athletics. I love athletics. I love sports, but, that's just an added bonus to get to coach kids.
How is Davin doing at South Dakota State? Obviously, a terrific college football program, battling it out with North Dakota State all the time. I don't know if they were one or two. The last time I looked, they were one of the top two teams in the football championship series. Is he getting an opportunity as a freshman? Often sometimes they have to wait a little bit. How's he doing in college?
Yeah, so they're the number one ranked team in the country right now.
I knew if they were number one, you'd make sure I heard about it.
No, he's having a blast out there. He loves it. He left early June already. He's been out there since, put on a lot of weight. He's getting a lot stronger, and now he can just focus on football. Playing time, he's kind of in that. They've got two sixth-year seniors and a fifth-year senior that are playing tight end. So right now, he's suited up for all the games. He's played in a couple, but right now they're kind of using him as emergency only. Mm-hmm. The new rule in college, they can play in up to four games and still use it as a redshirt year. So right now he's played in two. I would guess as the season goes on, if someone gets banged up or something like that, he'll play in at least two more, and then hopefully into the playoffs. The playoffs don't count against that. Oh. So hopefully they'll make a deep run and he'll get some playing time, and when that comes around too.
That's the best of both worlds, isn't it? Getting some experience and still having that additional year of eligibility.
Yeah, that's big for him.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I played college football. I understand that he's frustrated as far as the, Dad, I'm not getting any reps. I'm like, yeah, you're the freshman. You know what I mean? I know you've come from high school where you're the guy, you're always on the field. But, if you go to a very good program, a very successful program, mm-hmm. like that, it's just, if they need freshmen to play, then it's probably not that good a program. So the fact that you're even in the mix, you should just be happy with that. And, when you get your opportunities, you got to take advantage.
What are the things your team has to be better at as now we get to the real meat of the season? Obviously, again, looking at the recent month, haven't really been threatened. You've been able to basically, do things well offensively, do things outstandingly defensively as well. But starting this Friday with Medford, and then just generally looking ahead as you hope to try to make a pretty deep playoff run, what are the areas that you still feel like, hey, we got to prove ourselves in this area in order to accomplish what you'd like to still do in the next few weeks?
Obviously, this week, Medford's going to test our run defense. And that's where I'd like to see us just improve a little bit. We just need to get a little more physical up front, get off blocks, stay lower, things like, all the normal things that mm-hmm. coaches talk about. But for the most part, this will be a good test for this week, because that's probably been in playoffs the last couple of years. That's been we run into teams that just come in, they're a little bigger, stronger than us, and they've kind of dominated us up front. So both sides of the ball, that's kind of been our emphasis, especially from the start of the year, is just, we got to get off lower. We got to sustain blocks. You just got to go hit people. Just hitting them one time and letting them go isn't good enough. So mm-hmm. it's on both sides of the ball. It's just about, controlling the line of scrimmage is mainly what we've been our emphasis the last few weeks.
So knowing that you don't ever take anything for granted, and that every coach's goal is to go 1-0 each week, but you guys have a really successful program. So you look at that schedule to start the year, you spend all summer getting ready for Stratford, and then you take care of business to this point. What's different in practice the week of the Medford game when you're Mosinee and it's the GNC?
Well, lately we've kind of been the two teams. It's come down to us the last couple of years as far as the conference goes. It's a rivalry. So these kids, social media, they're talking that, do you hear what this guy said? No, I don't follow that. It's like, you guys keep that to yourself. But no, the intensity's been good this week. They understand that, this is, we got to crank it up a little bit this week, and, a little better focus, obviously the practices are starting to shorten a little bit, because of this time of the season and staying healthy and things like that. But no, this week it's, it's Medford, and you better show up and you better be prepared, or they're going to ram it down your throat, and they're going to keep ramming it down your throat. So
you said that, did you have,
yeah, I was just going to No, I was just going to follow up on that too. And obviously we all have been part of good teams, and that the best teams you're ever part of, the players kind of take that and lead. You talked about leadership. You talked about the kids understanding it. Who are your go-to guys, the guys who when you step out on the field every day, they're going to make sure everybody's ready and that they understand what's at stake this week?
For the most part, our seniors, we have a good number of seniors, but if I was going to expect certain guys, Keegan Jerschley's not a real vocal guy, but for the most part, he's going to be out there. He's going to be practicing hard. He's going to show you what's needed to do. Wyatt Harris has been, he's a very emotional kid. So it's sometimes it comes with some ups and downs, but for the most part, he's been a leader vocally. Yeah, those are the probably the two main guys as far as who we look to and who we follow to, you know, be successful.
When you, again, look at this game, you mentioned the fact that you want to make sure that the run defense is stout, and you have to be stout against Medford. When you have the football, how do you see the matchup? How good is Medford defensively? What do you think you can do offensively this week?
Once again, I like our athletes. I think they're gonna have a hard time, you know, running with all our athletes. Obviously, everybody game plans to stop Jersley, and we get that. So we have to find ways to get him open and get the ball in his hands. But for the most part, I think we've got enough other guys that if they're going to put a lot of emphasis on him, Wyatt Harris has been running the ball phenomenally for us this year. Gavin Obremski gives us the option of, if he wants to run it, he's a good runner. He's got a strong arm. And, you know, we've got Aiden Shaughnessy, you know, Elliot Yurkowski, and Jerry Straits, and Brady Locken, who everyone, they can all get open, and they can all catch the ball, and they can make big plays. So that's what I feel is our advantage, is just we've got a lot of athletes that's hard to cover them all.
And obviously I'm not going to ask you for any game plan or X's and O's stuff, but we said you got to go in, you got to stop the run this week. So do you just, is the emphasis during this week doing what we do, doing what you do better than you've ever done it this season, or do you kind of put in some new wrinkles and maybe some things they haven't seen? Obviously, you guys know each other very well. You're not going to do things completely different on offense or defense than you've done. But is your game plan with them kind of similar from year to year, or does it kind of mix it up depending on their athletes?
I'd say our game plan for them is similar from year to year. Is it similar to everyone else we play? No, because they're very run orientated. Yep. So obviously the emphasis is to take their strength away. So if we can get them out of their run game, I think that's an advantage to us. So obviously we're going to do some things and, you know, mix things up to maybe get an extra guy in the box, things like that, just to try to slow down their run, because that's what they want to do. So it doesn't pay for me to sit with four or five guys back in the secondary if they've got 11 guys in the box. So that's always the emphasis when you play Medford.
And the question I want to kind of ask a coach of a really solid football program in the high school area, how big is home field advantage in a game like this where you know there's going to be a lot of folks on hand? Does it matter in this kind of game? Is it a big factor? How do you look at home field advantage? And I guess you could take that to the next level early in the playoffs as well.
Yeah, I think I don't think it's as big an advantage as some may feel. Obviously, the last few years, the road teams have played pretty well in this matchup. So, obviously, we want to, we want better field conditions. We want a dry field. They have turf. So I think that helps us with our speed and athleticism. But as far as being at home, obviously, I'd rather be at home. It's just, you don't have to get on a bus. You can stay in your routine. The kids can get home and relax a little bit. They can get a good meal at home, things mm-hmm. like that. So I'd say not so much the field. The atmosphere obviously will be in their favor, but I think we travel pretty well, so it'll be fine. But it's just the normal routine that is the advantage if you're playing at home.
That said, it's always fun to be on a bus on the way home after a big road win, isn't it?
It is, and it's their homecoming. And I nice. I told these guys, I used to, in high school, college, I used to love playing teams on their homecomings. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing better than going in there and just spoiling that for them. So that can be an advantage to us because of the extra distractions, depending on, I'm sure that won't be a distraction. Their coach has been around long enough. He's not going to let that be a distraction, but it's still, we went through it a couple weeks ago. There's always some guys that are, thinking about other stuff other than the game, when it's homecoming week. So hopefully that's, pushes things a little bit in our advantage, but for the most part, yeah, going up there, it's going to give them a little advantage to be at home.
Anything else, Jason?
Yeah, just my last Medford question for you, because I love this matchup. It's very intriguing. So you talked earlier about the Stratford game, and with Stratford, you see them week to week all summer, 7-on-7 camps, Medford probably doesn't come to a 7-on-7 passing league. And it does seem in the GNC, oftentimes from sport to sport, it does line up to be a Medford Mosiny for the championship. Is this rivalry, is there maybe a little less love lost in this one than maybe like the respect? Obviously, I know you respect them and they have a great coach and a great program, but is there maybe in this matchup, is there one where it's maybe a little less friendly than some of the other ones because of the how many times in the different sports that you guys match up and how important each of these games is?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. There's definitely this has become, you know, the biggest rivalry, you know, probably with Mosiny and all our sport, at least the sports that I've been associated with my kids, the football, basketball, baseball, it's pretty much come down to Mosiny and Medford. You know, there's other teams mixed in there once in a while, but for the most part, you know, if you want to win a conference championship, you got to beat Medford. And they know, you know, most of the time it's going to come down to beating Mosiny. And, you know, there's been some other things that have added some fuel to the fire going on, you know, so it's, yeah, it can get chippy. For the most part, I'd say the fans, the parents seem to be it bothers them more than the kids, I think.
Right.
I mean, the kids just want to get out on the field and play. And yeah, there's, you know, it's high school sports. They talk, they, you know what I mean? It mm-hmm. can get chippy, it can get emotional. But yeah, it's a fun rivalry, and it brings out the best in both teams most of the time.
Awesome.
Mosiny head football coach Kyle Stoffel, thanks again for making the trek up. Enjoy your trip to Medford. Hopefully it will be a nice bus ride home on Friday night. But really do appreciate it, and best of luck as you get to the playoffs as well.
Thanks, guys. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Coach Kyle Stoffel of the Mosiny Indians. We'll take a timeout. Come back with more. It's the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. I thought that went pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought I did a nice job. Now, is he gone? So, is the quarterback his son?
I guess so. I don't know, to be honest with you. And the thing is, he said, you know, talk about Gavin, and it's like Gavin only had one pass that week, and it's like, didn't you say about he has no injuries?
Yeah.
Maybe he just played him last week. I don't know. Just, that was, I don't know. Yeah.
Because he said that. He said the son who's he has a son in high school who's a sophomore. So is this kid the quarterback a sophomore?
I'll have to look at that.
And then he said a daughter who's a seventh grader who's 6 feet tall and she plays volleyball. He was also at the whatchamacallit last year at Wausau East.
I know.
Could
have asked that, huh? Oh, by the way, what happened there, you know? You know a little something about parents going overboard. Well, tell us about that.
So, no, I thought he did a nice job.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Very good.
So it was his brother who was the head coach at Marathon, right?
Yeah.
And he's coaching with him at Mosiny. Mm-hmm. And then
I think he's doing – his brother's the offense and he's doing the defense.
Okay. And then his nephew then, he went to one of those FCS schools too, didn't he, out of Marathon? I don't know how long he lasted.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I thought he did
one out in
maybe North Dakota or South Dakota, something like
that.
I think he was a big tight end or receiver too.
And welcome back. Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And thanks again to Coach Kyle Stoffel of Mosinee getting set for that big one. We'll talk more about the big one coming up a little bit later on, but we got some more of week number 7 to talk about. And again, don't forget, coming up in about 15 to 20 minutes, 15 minutes or so, we'll have our next guest, Jackson Spees, our student athlete guest from Stevens Point. That's coming up at about 7:05 tonight here on the Big High School Sports Show. We went through the VFA and the GNC back in the first segment of the show, but Marrowood Conference, again, big ones in the Marrowood, and quite a game last week between Auburndale and Abbotsford. Abbotsford looking to pull off what would have been an upset. I mean, they only had one loss coming in, but they had come off a pretty stiff pounding the week before. Auburndale was undefeated, and Abbotsford went into Auburndale, led 31-24 after three, but Auburndale rallied, winning 34-31 to stay undefeated on the season. Caden Anderson, 11 of 20 passing, 155 yards, three touchdowns, added 21 rushes, 131 yards, and a score for the Eagles. Christian Fuentes, another big night for Abbotsford. Eight rushes, 123 yards, and three touchdowns. Both teams are going to the playoffs, number one. But for Abbotsford, I say that was a big bounce back after, you know, the week before. They had trouble late last season against the best teams in the Marrowood. They took a step forward. And for Auburndale, they get the W. They put themselves in position to win a conference championship.
Yeah, and this is the one that I watched last Friday on the news, and I was like, "Oh, Abbotsford, so close!"
I know,
because it's kind of been neat watching them all year this year, and like you said, being able to compete with the top group in the Marrowood here. I think that this also, I think, puts them in a nice position to maybe make some waves into the playoffs. Auburndale, yeah, that certainly sets up for a great matchup to end the year. And my question is, when they get around the table in the Marrowood to talk all conference, how many running backs are there in this league? Holy man, a lot of big numbers week to week.
Last Friday night, I made a trek to Colby. See the Colby Hornets in action against the Marathon Red Raiders. And Colby moves to 6-1 overall, 4-1 in the conference, a 35-0 win over the Red Raiders. Marathon 3-4 overall, 2-3 in the conference. It was scoreless after one. Marathon kind of bent but did not break in the first quarter. But then Colby had a 28-0 edge in the second quarter. And the last 2 minutes actually was the key, because Marathon had the football and they were moving a little bit and they were going to get the football to start off the third quarter. But a turnover gave the ball back. Colby scored on the first play with a Gavin Voss run to make it 21-0 with under 2 minutes to go. And then they were able to use their timeouts, get the football back, and then score a touchdown on the final play of the first half to make it 28-0 and really take away any of the drama of that one. Gavin Voss had 19 rushes, 169 yards, two touchdowns. It was a 419-128 edge in total offense for Colby. 29 yards rushing for Marathon. And my report is, Colby's defense was stellar, especially the run defense. They were able to keep True Thurs in check the entire night, and that was what jumped out of what looks to be a very solid Colby football team.
Yeah, when you put down 419 yards of total offense and then still pitch that shutout, I think that Colby definitely is a team to be reckoned with to end this season.
And Marathon had put up 411 yards of total offense against undefeated Auburndale the previous week. So good offense for Marathon, but that defense for Colby was very, very impressive. Speaking of very, very impressive, a team that's probably playing as well as anybody right now is Edgar. I mean, the offense and defense, they have been combining for great numbers, a 36-0 win over Pittsville. Edgar 6-1 overall, 5-0 in the Marrowood. Pittsville 4-3 overall, 2-3 in the conference. It was 29-0 Edgar at halftime. Carter Butt, again, another solid effort. 12 rushes, 117 yards, two touchdowns, added six tackles on defense. Held Pittsville, which was a team that had been putting up some pretty good numbers for much of the season, to just 108 yards of offense. And you got to see, as we get towards the end of the regular season, looking to the playoffs, this Edgar team has the look of those Edgar teams that made deep runs and sometimes ended up at Camp Randall Stadium.
Yeah, I think what we talked about with Coach Stoffel and what the Stratford game maybe did for them. I think Edgar kind of started their season like that. Who was it? Who did they play week one?
Oh, I got to look back.
Over on the western half there.
Was it Ellsworth?
Yes, the cheese curds. Yeah, Ellsworth. Yeah, and then what they came around and did to Stratford, and then what that did to Stratford and turned them around in their season. So, yeah, these big games and these big wins, it's kind of like when you watch college football. If you're going to lose a game, it's probably best to lose it early in the season because it can be very forgiving down the road, and I think these teams have all learned from those tough losses and our tough matchups week in and week out.
Speaking of big games, there were two big games in the CWC large because the big four, the top four teams in that conference, got together last week. The big one was in Stratford as the Tigers took on the undefeated Wittenberg-Burnham Chargers, and the game lived up to its billing. Stratford jumped out to a 12-0 lead. Whitburn came back, took a 13-12 lead. Stratford then scored a couple of times. Whitburn got back to within seven, and then a late score for Stratford made it 34-21. Stratford now 6-1 overall, 5-0 in the conference. Whitburn 6-1 overall, 4-1 in the conference. Kohler Kilty, big night for Stratford. 24 rushes, 148 yards, 4 touchdowns. Nathan Wapenkanay, it was 11. I'll get it right eventually. When he gets the state, we'll get it right for sure.
You notice I don't even attempt it.
But the Whitburn quarterback was 11 of 20, 177 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. And what Stratford did exceptionally well was holding Wittenberg-Burnhamwood to under 3 yards per carry, just 79 yards on 26 rush attempts, and 262 yards for Stratford on the ground. Obviously, Stratford, the edge was with the run game, both offensively and defensively.
Yeah, I think Stratford proved in this game that they still are the top dog in this conference. But I think Wittenberg definitely comes out of it, obviously licking their wounds a little bit. They went expelled a lot of energy going preparing for this one and in that game. But I think they come out of it knowing that they've played all the tough teams in that conference now. They got 2 weeks to make sure they're healthy. And I tell you what, Wittenberg's not a team that I would want to see in the first or second round of the playoffs.
And Amherst made a statement. I was starting to wonder, what is this Amherst team? They were 3-3 overall. They were 2-2 in the conference. And Wyawega Fremont came into town. Wyawega was undefeated, 6-0 on the season. Well, Amherst, the offense got going. 57-36 winners for the Falcons. They are heading back to the postseason. They're now 3-2 in the conference, 4-3 overall. Wyawega Fremont, 6-1 overall, 4-1 in the conference. Nasiah Holland, 22 rushes, 208 yards, 4 touchdowns for Amherst. It was an offensive night. More than 800 yards of total offense. Wyawega Fremont actually had a slight edge, 443-393. But in the end, 57 points for Amherst. That's a big win. And again, Amherst showing that they still belong in that discussion at the top of the CWC large, despite the losses earlier to Whitburn and Stratford.
Yeah, and Wyawega Fremont, I mean, to put up that many yards against a team like Amherst, whose record isn't what it is most years, but we know they're one heck of a team and a program, and obviously it doesn't get any easier for Wyawega Fremont heading to play Stratford this week. But what can they? What does that offense do against Stratford? I mean, if Stratford shuts down a team that had 443 yards against Amherst, then I think I'm glad I'm not in Division Six this year.
Division Five. The other two games in the CWC large, when you look on the surface, you know, the teams near the bottom of the conference, but there's something interesting I'm going to point out. Number one, Spencer Columbus beat Nakusa 29-22. So Spencer Columbus gets their first win, 1-6 overall, 1-4 in the conference. Nakusa 2-5 overall, 1-4 in the league. And Manawa beat Shiocton 22-21. Manawa 1-4 in the conference, 2-5 overall. Shiocton 1-6 overall, 1-4 in the conference. All four of those teams are now 1-4. Meaning the teams that had no wins in conference beat the team that had one win in conference, in all likelihood, may have put all four of those teams out of the playoffs. Because if the teams that had the one win it, they get closer. They have a chance to get into the postseason. Now all these teams are basically in a position they have to win their final two games.
Yeah.
And it may have changed, ultimately, who gets into the postseason playoffs.
Yeah, and also I think it definitely speaks to what the bottom half of that conference looks like. It makes me think a little bit about that district proposal that the WIAA had a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Football's the only one, obviously, that doesn't have an all play in the playoffs, and right. So only certain teams make it in. And that proposal kind of, and there's actually one floating out there right now too that I think is catching some steam with the WIAA, where maybe it ends up being an 8-game regular season, and the playoffs is still limited for who actually wins a state championship, but provides an opportunity for a 9th and 10th game for those other ones against teams that are quality matchups, as opposed to a 1-8 or whatever the case may be. So I think games like that in those bottom four kind of speaks to the value of who remembers who won the state championship or who took second last year. It's right. about kids playing a bunch of football, and I think there's some opportunities to be had there.
And frankly, as we got like 50 seconds before a break, something has to be done, because right now we're seeing a lot of teams that, I mean, that have one win still going to probably make the playoffs. I mean, they're going to find a way in. I think that somehow it has to be some adjustments here, because we could have some, I think, rather ugly playoff games coming up in level one.
Yeah, when you look at the projected fields from different media outlets, we'll call them, and you look at how many teams with losing conference records are going to be in the playoff field this year, I think definitely that will speak to or maybe motivate those conversations that are happening about maybe looking to change things up down the road.
We have to take a break for the news and then come back with hour number two. We'll start with our student athlete guest coming up, Jackson Spies, coming up after the news. Another hour to go. It's the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12.